You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up.
You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Locked On Brewers, the show handle at Cheesehead Talks, my personal handle, facebook.com/Locked On Brewers as well. For all your Locked On Brewers magic online, go check us out in those spots. Got Dr. Scott on the show today. We're going to break down the analytics of the defense of Lorenzo Cain, your Gold Glove Award winner. Finally, Lorenzo Cain has corrected probably the greatest injustice in America today. Maybe a bit overstated. But anyway, he wins the Gold Glove after a great defensive season, with not only great defensive metrics across the board, but some fantastic, memorable moments. Opening day, the catch in New York to rob the Mets of a home run, the home run robbing catch in Colorado, the second of two spectacular defensive plays he made on that final Saturday night of the regular season. The baseball gods screwed it up by allowing the Colorado Rockies to win that game. That's what happened. And it was too bad because I don't know how you have that performance sullied with a loss. That was too bad. But it was fantastic by Lorenzo Cain. And just memorable plays across the board. And, you know, not today and all this stuff. And I think the consensus being that if it was close, if it was even, which it kind of was with the defensive metrics, that the award should go to Lo Cain because it's a travesty. He has not won one yet, and he finally does, and everybody's happy with that. So great news there. We'll break that down a little bit with Dr. Scott coming up. But it was a big Monday of news for the Brewers. Just a lot going on. Because it was the day in which teams had to either pick up options or decline options and send players to free agency. Well, the Brewers, earlier in the day, the news is announced that they trade Chase Anderson to the Blue Jays, and they get a first baseman in return. Chad Spanberger is a first baseman who had a bit of a disappointing season at Double A in the Toronto organization this year. And so that's interesting. Chase Anderson goes that the Brewers aren't going to pick up his $8.5 million club option. And, you know, we'll talk about Anderson more a little bit later on in the week here, because really his contributions to the Brewers maybe a little underrated as far as what he did since coming to the Brewers back in, I think, the 2015 season. So Spanberger comes to Milwaukee, and I don't know that he's coming to the big leagues. In fact, I don't think he is. He had been coming into the season the Blue Jays' 30th ranked prospect. And so there was something there. He had that kind of a title, but he had a disappointing season in Double A, and so maybe a bounce back year for him and can be a first baseman in the future for the Brewers. So I was thinking, well, you got a piece, I guess, for Anderson. You didn't let him go for nothing, so you have that. And then later in the day, I'm a little blindsided because the Brewers decide not to pick up the option for Eric Thames. They decline that. Thames a free agent now. I guess possibly he could return to Milwaukee if they sign him on a free agent deal. But I figured he'd fetch more than that with the numbers he put up. Maybe not. The number I think that the Brewers turned down, because I think the buyout is $1 million, so they had to pay him $6.5 million. They saved $6.5 million, and they have the $1 million buyout on the club option. And so he is a free agent, and there is a gap at first base now for the Brewers. And so really what you have is a payroll that's been trimmed quite a bit, which is good if you're going to sign a lot of your key arbitration guys and then also go out and maybe get some pieces. But now you have pieces to get at first base, certainly at catcher, and maybe you can make a run here at Yasmani Grandal. I don't know what's going on. there, or if the Brewers are going to make a serious move, or if they're going to look outside the organization for some other free agents. I'm just really surprised. I'm surprised that they did not pick up the option on Eric Thames. So we'll dive into that again as the week goes along here and try and figure out what David Stearns is trying to do. But I do know this. I have ultimate confidence in this. I trust in David Stearns, right? In Stearns we trust. I mean, that used to be what Packer fans would say about Ted Thompson before, the last few years at least, that as frustrating as things might be, he could still put a pretty talented team on the field. Well, Stearns has obviously been able to do that and made some fantastic moves early in his tenure here as the Brewers general manager. So now I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing here because I don't know who's out there to play first base for the Brewers or what their plan is, but they have a plan. Of that I know. I know they do, and so what is it? I'm nervously intrigued to see what they do now because this is interesting to me that they have decided not to pick up the option. I thought it was a no-brainer. You heard me say on this podcast, I didn't think there was any doubt they'd pick up the option for Thames. I thought there was a good possibility they'd decline the option on Chase Anderson. Well, they trade him, and maybe they think they've got a piece that they can turn around and have a future first baseman here with Spanberger. I don't know, but Thames is just gone, and so unless, again, the Brewers sign him to a lesser free agent deal, I don't know. But first base now. So you got to do first base. You got to figure out third base. Is Travis Shaw just your answer there? You're going to make a run at Moustakas. What about catcher? You're going to make a big run at Yasmani Grandal. That's going to require $25 million a year probably, 3 to 4 year deal. It gets very interesting now in Milwaukee. They have some space to work with. I think they have $40 million roughly left to catch up to where their opening day payroll was this past year. Now, a lot of that's going to get eaten up by arbitration guys. But, it's their form now to kind of play with and try and go get a free agent or two or more or whatever it's going to be. And it's a very interesting thing now. And again, I'm nervously interested. I'm nervously intrigued. But I'm confident that David Stearns has a plan. I really am. I know maybe that sounds wishy-washy, but I am, because he's delivered so in such a big way for this club multiple times. As a fantastic GM, so here we go. We'll get more into that during the week. We do have to get to Dr. Scott Borkenhagen. Tuesdays with Dr. Scott. He'll join us next, Brewers Sabermetrics genius, and we'll talk about the season for Locane. And we'll dive into first base. What do the Brewers need to get in production to at least equal the production they've had at first base the last 3 years? You might be surprised. Decent numbers. So can they go get those? We'll talk about that with Dr. Scott coming up. You're Locked On Brewers. In the bedroom, it's still time to perform all year round. Blue Chew is there for you to get the job done. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, delivered discreetly. You can go get a prescription online, and it'll come right to your doorstep. Again, not in a package that makes it obvious what it is. It's chewable, so it works up to twice as fast as the little blue pill and whatever color pill Cialis is. And it's there for you. Blue Chew is really catching on, and it's a nice addition. I shouldn't say addition. It's, I don't know if it's an addition to your enhancement chest, but it is something that's worth trying. So go check it out. Bluechew.com. Try promo code MLB, and you get your first shipment free. You have to pay for the shipping, but the actual product for free. So try it now. Promo code MLB, Bluechew.com, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Peloton is the place to go. They are right now offering a limited time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. If it's Tuesday, it means it's Dr. Scott. It never changes unless Dr. Scott decides not to show up, and then it's Wednesdays with Dr. Scott. But we're still, it's okay because he showed up today. It's Tuesday. With Dr. Scott Borkenhagen, who's a real medical doctor.
Hello, everybody.
You're a shrink, right?
Yeah, I'm trained in family practice and as a psychiatrist.
So. Now, what's funny about that is that's like a 1980s term, and shrink. I don't know if anybody calls them that anymore, but I did. So.
Yeah, you hear it less and less. What I get more often is people confuse psychiatry and psychology. That's a real common one. So.
Yeah, we could go into that. We're not going to, but I would probably confuse it. Anyway, okay, Dr. Scott is with us. He has a website, brewmaths.com.
Some other time.
Yeah, that's a December topic. Brewmaths.com is the website, brew_maths at Twitter. He's a Brewers sabermetrics genius. Boy, a lot to talk about today, Dr. Scott. First of all,
yes.
Lorenzo Cain finally wins a gold glove. Exactly, right? Long overdue. He sort of campaigned for it, not him, but everybody who watches, you know, baseball, and the Brewers certainly said, you know, it's ridiculous. This guy should be, you know, a gold glover. And finally he gets one. So I ask you, just purely defensively, because in the analytics, correct me if I'm wrong, have to now play a bigger role in who gets gold gloves because there are better defensive metrics. So I'll have you comment on that and also ask you, did Lorenzo Cain lead the way this year? Is he deserving over everybody else of this gold glove from an analytics standpoint?
Well, I should preface this conversation with two things. One is that I'm biased as hell. Can I say that? I don't even know if
yes,
I can say that.
Yes, you could swear if you wanted, but we won't. That wasn't a swear word. Hell is not a swear word.
I'm playing with boundaries right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm biased. I'm very biased. So I should note that. I'm a low Cain fan. He might be my favorite brewer. On top of that, I also should note that the process to pick the Golden Glove winner is very human-based. You know, it's baseball writers who are voting on this in the end, and so it kind of just comes down to what they think. And the metrics and all these numbers, they matter. And I think, you know, as sports writers and the general community gets more kind of affluent or fluent with these terms and things of that nature, it gets easier and easier for people to kind of use these statistics in their day-to-day mm-hmm. kind of thought process. So, you know, let's just kind of take a look at the basic stats that Lokane brings to the table. He was number one in the majors for games started for a center fielder. He was number two in putouts in the majors with 306. Number five in the majors with assists, he had five. Number one, number one, actually. I thought I was looking at that wrong. In fielding percentage at .994, and he had one double play, which made him fourth for center fielder. So you just look at those basic numbers, and you can tell, wow, there's a guy who's out there a lot. He's not only playing a lot, but he also produces a lot in terms of defensive outs and assisting in them. And so, you know, he belongs in the conversation just kind of with those numbers. But if you take it a step further and we look at him kind of compared to Bader and Robles, and we do take a step further and we look at, you know, defensive run saves and range factor per nine, some of these more advanced defensive metrics, we see that they all kind of pan out almost exactly the same. Defensive runs saved, Bader 12, Cain 20, Robles 23. Range factor per nine, Bader 2.44, Cain 2.38, Robles 2.54. I could go on and on and on, but these numbers kind of play out that way, where there's these tiny differences between them, and it's hard to quantify what that actually even means. And so at a certain point, it gets to, you look at all these numbers and you put it all down and they kind of all look the same, and there's some are better in some areas and worse in others, but I don't think you could even make the decision based on the numbers alone is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And so it kind of comes down to how much did this guy do when his team needed him the most? How much does he pass the eye test? What plays do I remember him making? It kind of becomes more about the intangibles, and StatCast tries to get into that a little bit. They look at reaction time and burst and the route to the ball, and they call that jump. You know, who has the best jump in the outfield? Who can track down the balls the best? And Cain, if you look at his numbers in jump, in fact, all these guys, some of the numbers are elite, but some of them aren't so good. Like Cain had a negative .03 on his route to the ball. I'm not even going to get into what that means, but yeah, his route was negative .03, which is hard to believe, right?
Yeah.
And so none of these things completely are intuitive, and you get down to the bottom of this comparison, and it kind of just is, okay, well, what do I do now? And the separators here are Bader didn't play as many games, so you can kind of nick him for that. Robles had a few more errors, so you could kind of nick him for that. But I think what it comes down to is just Kane, his home run robberies and the fashion in which he did played his defense, it kind of trump carded these other guys. Even when they announced it yesterday, they said that the other two will have to wait. You know, Kane is kind of due here. And so I think that the whole community was aware of
there's that factor, right? And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing that exists. That, you know, it's kind of like when Ron Dane won the Heisman. It's like a kind of career achievement award, you know, and the fact that Kane hadn't won a gold glove. You know, everybody thought, well,
this is a good analogy.
Yeah, this guy needs to win one. And I, you know, look, I was going to joke about that whole, what was it? The excitement factor, the route to the ball. What was that term?
The jump. Call that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is exactly it or not, but I was going to joke with you that, you know, those guys didn't have the moments that Kane had. And it says something. I mean, you know, the opening day moment, the Saturday night that the baseball gods are so cruel to the Brewers because when Kane has those two incredible plays and they still lose in Colorado, you know, it's not fair because that was such an exclamation point for this team. So, anyway, point is, he had a fantastic defensive season, and it's well-deserved no matter what, especially when you take a look and you talk about how it's so close across the board with all these guys. So it's really cool, and you know, we love Lokane, and hopefully he rebounds a little at the plate in 2020 and continues to be the center fielder that that he's been. So let's move on. We're talking about Dr. Scott, Brewers sabermetrics genius. The other big news that was made yesterday was the Brewers deciding not to pick up the option on Eric Thames. Now, of course, also Chase Anderson was traded, by the way, for a first baseman that had a disappointing year in the minors last year. But all in all, maybe a decent guy to take a shot on for the Brewers from the Blue Jays. So we'll talk about that more as the week goes along. But really the thing that shocked me, and I don't know what the Brewers are doing here, is letting go of Eric Thames, because I thought it was a no-brainer, Dr. Scott, that they were going to pick up his option. Really not that much in the grand scheme. You know, if you're going to release a guy, fine, and I know David Stearns has a plan because he always does. I'm really anxious now to see what it is because I don't get it right now. You know, I don't understand what they're doing.
We're all a little nervous. I think it's easy as a Brewers fan to take for granted the production that's come from the first base position over the last 3 years. Over the last 3 years, it's been Thames and Aguilar kind of alternating back and forth. In 2017, Thames had that awesome year, started really hot. Aguilar kind of came in at the end. And then 2018, we had Aguilar take over, and he kind of was the big guy.
Yeah.
And Thames was playing, you know, second fiddle to him. And then it flipped again last year, and Thames had a really great year. So if we look at the defensive numbers, the numbers from that defensive position is how I should say that. If we just look at the first base production over the last 3 years, we get an OPS of 906 in 2017, an OPS of 869 in 2018, and an OPS of 808 last year. Basically, they've been averaging over that span about 35 to 38 home runs. We've got 41 home runs, 44 home runs, and 33 last year over that span. And so we've kind of gotten used to getting about 250, 35 home runs and 100 RBIs out of the first baseman position. It's going to be hard to fill.
So maybe, you know, maybe the strategy is that the Brewers are looking for just space on their own payroll to make a real run at Yasmani Grandal. You know, that's what I'm thinking. You basically, you had Grandal's salary last year at, 17 million, or 16 or something like that, because 3 million carried over to the declined option.
18.25, I think, is what it all ended up being.
Oh, wow. Okay. So higher than I thought. So anyway, then, you know, he's going to probably command at least 25 million a year is kind of the thought there from that position, because there's no better catcher on the free agent market, and the Brewers might try and get him on a 3 to 4 year deal, something like that. And then they clear essentially $15 million of space by trading Chase and not picking up the option on Thames, roughly 15. So maybe that's a strategy, but then you just leave a hole at first base. So it's tough. I get it's tough, and maybe you think that a hole at first base is easier to fill than a hole at catcher, which probably is true. But, you know, They're going to do, oh man, they have to do something. I don't know what they're going to do because the free agents are more expensive, right?
I think your anxiety is, there's some validity to it. We'll just say it that way. Look at the first baseman market right now. There's only two guys who have a higher WAR, or I guess Abreu had the same WAR as Thames did. They both had a 1.9 last year. There's only one guy then, if we look at it that way, who has a WAR higher than Thames did last year, and it's mm-hmm. Kendricks, you know? And Kendricks is 36. Abreu's 33. Both of these guys would be prime for signing on a short-term deal. And getting some production, you know, squeezing some production out of them at the end of their career. More Kendrick than Abreu. He still is productive. The guy is pretty much a lock to hit 25, 30 home runs a year his whole career. And so there's a guy too, but you're going to pay a lot more for him than you would for Thames. And so it's a tricky situation. If we look down the list a little bit more, there are some bargain buys on the free agent list. You know, you got the old Brewer veteran Neil Walker, Justin Smoke, Logan Forsythe, Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Adams. And so names that aren't going to knock you over, even Justin Bour, someone mentioned to me on Twitter today. And, you know, I think what the Brewers could do instead of going with one of these huge productive guys is just kind of piecemeal it together and worry about the other positions more.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, they could, but then, you know, it's just interesting to see what they're going to do. And look, it wasn't like an offensive juggernaut as a team last year. So I get that, you know, really from, I guess, compared to what we expected, it turned on in September, but you know, they did not, they were essentially a 500 team until the hot finish. So, you know, they're looking at that too and saying, well, we gotta, you know, we have to make some moves here. We're going to have to really do some bold things. And maybe this is the start of that. Don't know. If it is, that's exciting, but you know, you're potentially leaving a hole at first and then at third, because if they don't, you know, if they decide not to re-sign Moose, which they might try to make a run at Moose too, but you're leaving a big hole potentially at third if you don't know Travis Shaw can get back to his form. I don't know. It's just all, you know, we knew it'd be a fascinating offseason, and it this news with Thames yesterday makes it even more intriguing, I think. And again, I'm more anxious than intrigued, but maybe I'll turn it into being intrigued as the offseason rolls
on. Stearns is clearly recalibrating and making money available in areas that it hasn't been. And so, you know, something big is seems to be on the way. And if it's not, well, that window, I'd like to remind Stearns that the window on Yelly is slowly closing. Even as we're talking right now, Ben, it's closing. And so, you know, there is some urgency here.
You
there
paint
is
a
some
dire picture.
That's right. Let's go. We got like 3 years.
Yeah, let's get it done. Yeah, I know. Somehow I think David Stearns is aware. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's a pretty smart guy. All right, Dr. Scott, we'll see what the week brings. It'll be an interesting week and obviously future weeks ahead for the Brewers and all of baseball. Thank you much. Always good to talk to you. We'll catch up next week.
See you then.
You can always check out Dr. Scott, as we've mentioned, at brewmaths.com, also at brew_maths on Twitter. And so check out his handle and his Twitter feed there. A lot of great info always coming across on that Twitter feed. We'll join you tomorrow. We'll talk more about these moves for the Brewers and what is ahead. It becomes very intriguing, as we've just discussed. So we'll pick up that conversation and continue to discuss. Also, I want to talk throughout the week. Can Christian Yelich win the MVP? I mean, is it possible? The voting was done at the end of the regular season. You know, baseball really drags this thing out. It's not going to be announced till the 14th. He is a finalist. Craig Counsell, a finalist for Manager of the Year. So, can these guys win? You know, we'll talk about that coming up this week as well on Lockdown Brewers. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks with an S at the end. Also, at Lockdown Brewers, the show handle, and Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. So go check us out there. Rate and review the podcast if you get a chance. And do tell a friend who's looking for an off-season fix that we're here all through the off-season with your Brewers fix right here on Lockdown Brewers. Again, thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Lockdown Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. I'll talk to you tomorrow when we deliver your Brewers fix right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.